Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good afternoon, everybody, I should say. This is Alan Levy on Blog Talk Radio. I'm the CEO and founder of Blog Talk Radio. I'd like to welcome you to my show today. We have a very special guest, Simon Rosenberg from NDN will be our guest. And I have a co-host today, a very special co-host, in fact, James Boyce. How are you, James?
Good, Alan. How are you?
Simon.
Yes.
How are you? This is Alan Levy and James Boyce.
How are you, Alan and James?
Simon, how are you? Now, I hope you haven't been playing any soccer and breaking your
ankle. I do play. I just don't break my ankle anymore.
Yeah. I saw you at Democracy Alliance the first night, but then I didn't see you again, so we'd have missed each other.
I know. I took off. I was. I just played a bit part in that event, James.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I stayed around. I stayed around for a couple of things, but most importantly for the evening functions with
right.
Ariana.
Well, Simon, nice to meet you, and thank you for joining
Alan,
today and James on my show and on Blog Talk Radio. And you're with NDN, Simon Rosenberg. And
yep.
I'd like to, you know, maybe give us an opportunity to hear from you and
sure.
what NDN's all about and for our audience. And
mm-hmm.
and I know James has got some familiarity with it, and
yep.
I've read some, but would love to hear what you have to say. And really, what are the types of things you're focusing on right now?
Sure. And first of all, appreciate the opportunity to be with you guys today. And we are, NDN is a think tank and advocacy organization that's focused on imagining and building a 21st century progressivism. So what does that mean? That would make my lawyers happy by saying all that. What that means is that we are focused very much in trying to recreate the great success the progressive movement had in the 20th century and the 21st century. And we think that we need to do three things in order to make that happen. We need to build a governing agenda that meets the challenges of today and not challenges from the past century. We need to master the new media and technology of our day, and we need to speak to the new people of America. I mean, our country has changed a great deal since the last great majority coalition was built by FDR in the 1930s. We've become more southern and western and suburban and exurban and Hispanic and Asian and immigrant and Spanish-speaking. We're increasingly going to be as millennial as we are boomer, and the boomers are going to be aging. And so there are a lot of demographic changes that are going on in addition to the great media transformation, in addition to a whole bunch of new governing challenges. And if we, our argument is if progressives can do those three things, you know, we can build a kind of successful politics as successful as the politics that we, you know, we had in the 20th century. And it was a century, obviously, where we did many good things, and we should be very proud of the contribution we made. Because when we were in power, we left America better than we found it. The conservatives can't say that. So that's what we're about. So we do work in those three areas, on agenda, media technology, and on the demographics and people.
And who do you represent? I mean, what your organization is made up of whom?
Well, it's private citizens. I mean, we're not aligned with, you know, there are elected officials who work with us. We used to be a political action committee. We used to raise money and give money out around the country, and from 1996 to 2002, we became one of the 10 largest PACs in America. We supported close to 500 candidates in 49 of the 50 states, and you know, we helped a lot of people get elected, 50 new people to the House and Senate, and people like Gavin Newsom and Cory Booker and Antonio Villagrosa and folks like that. And then in the last few years, we've changed, and we've become more of a think tank, thought leader, advocacy organization. We've run, you know, $10 million worth of media in the last 3 years in Spanish and English, both nationally and in individual states. And we're a private organization. I mean, we are funded by our members in the way that Move On members fund Move On. We just aren't nearly as big as Move On. And that's so we're sort of, you know, a smaller, probably not as agile version of Move On, perhaps, you know, for your listeners.
Okay. James?
Well, you know, Simon, one thing, I'm not sure how familiar you are with Blog Talk Radio, but it's funny when Alan mentioned that, you know, before I came on to kind of help on the political side and particularly bring in some of the bloggers to do their own shows, he mentioned you were coming on. I thought you were the perfect person to come on Blog Talk Radio because I'm
yep.
very familiar with your focus and your
yep.
interest in emerging technologies. And we've had an interesting thing in the last day. I had Wesley Clark and John Soltz from Vote Vets on my show Heading Left yesterday. That I do with Nate Wilcox. I don't know if you know Nate. There was you know, kind of worked with Jerome as part
mm-hmm.
of Warner, going to be part of Warner's team. And
yep.
So Nate and I had Clark and Sultan, and we were talking about NoStopIranWar.com that they launched this week and stuff like that. Well, today what we decided to do is we're going to do a, you know, blogtalkradio.com/StopIranWar, and we're going to try to do a weekly show with right now it looks like I'm the volunteer host, and then you'll have Salt. But what Les Clark's going to do is he's going to bring on some of the foreign policy people and some of the experts,
great.
Military people. And, you know, what's interesting, you know, and I'm sure you'll see the possibilities, just as I have, as I've been trying to, as Alan and I have kind of gone through this, is that, you know, there's no barrier to entry. And, you know,
right.
people do shows instantly. You know, I talked to Tom Matzie from Move On about how they can do shows. Candidates can do shows, Simon, and elected officials. You know, Joe Sestak wants to do a show every week and keep everybody in Pennsylvania informed of what he's doing, and it's a live show, and you can have five guests, and people come in. And then what's great is it basically, you know, defaults into, you know, a listen on demand or a podcast. And
right.
we had the Edwards bloggers, you know, Amanda and Melissa on Monday. You know, and 700 people have come on our site since Monday to listen to that show. And it might, in one sense, it's a lot of people. That might not sound like a lot of people, but that's people that are actually seeking out that show, you know, and listening for 15 to 20 minutes. And I think it's going to be an important, another, you know, tool in the toolbox for progressives. And so I think that's what's kind of neat about it. So
it's great what you guys are doing. It's exciting.
Yeah, we've got bloggers from Northern Ireland, and there's a great article in the Jerusalem Post yesterday about Blog Talk Radio. So I think that'll be interesting. What how's DC going? What do you think? What's on the?
Well, it's a lot better today than it was a few months ago. I mean, it's the Republican era. It was tough here. I mean, it was not only very partisan and really sort of ruthless in the internal politics. There was just no cooperation, trust among the two parties, you know, unlike the Clinton era where there was a lot of work done, you know, across party lines and where, you know, not on every issue, but where people came together for sort of the common good. That did happen back in the 90s, and it's certainly happened more in American history than not. And this has just, I think, been a disappointing era. You know, not only did government not produce for the American people, and we saw some of the greatest level of corruption in American history, but the partisanship and just the rancor and the brutal politics, it was hard being here. And I really, you know, we all feel, you know, liberated from, you know, having worked in sort of what was a terribly disappointing era in our history. And what's great today is that there's just more of a sense of possibility. Like there are things that we can do together as a people, as a government, you know, as a movement, as a party, you know, to advance the people's agenda. And I think that, you know, I think we are going to get some things done, perhaps not everything we wanted to in the next 2 years, but certainly it feels like we're making progress. And to be part of all that, it's exciting. It's been very busy. I've been much busier in the last few months than I've been in a long time. And, you know, we're
saying something because you're usually pretty busy.
I know. It's just, but it's good busy as opposed to, boring busy. You know, we're good. So things are good. And I'm proud of how Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid are doing. I mean, I think that we've got the Democrats have a phenomenal field in 08, and, you know, just things feel like they're on the upswing for progressives and Democrats. And for the first time in a long time, the Republicans and conservatives seem to be in sort of a sustained retreat. And I don't know if that's something they're going to be able to turn around the next couple of years.
We'll do what we can.
Yeah, no, what's the, I guess, is Iraq the from a legislative standpoint or a real focus point? I mean, you're not into the election business in terms of, you know, not supporting any candidate and so
right.
on, but what are your focus on, your primary focus right now?
Yeah, we're working a lot on economic issues and really trying to, I mean, to be honest, the Iraq stuff, there are so many people in that space, and I write on my blog almost every day about Middle Eastern policy and foreign policy for the U.S., and it's, you know, ndnblog.org. It's part of our set of sites and things that are connected with NDN. But, you know, as a legislative focus, the things we're really focused on now are things that we've been working on for years that we have a lot of expertise on, which are, you know, economic policy and particularly and also immigration, which is going to be, you know, a huge battle this year. And we have been part of the coalition that's behind something called comprehensive immigration reform. Those, for us, is sort of fashioning a new economic strategy for America that allows, you know, as we say, corporations, capital, and people to succeed. Because what's happened in recent years is that people with money and companies have done very well, but average workers haven't. I mean, we are working hard with a lot of other groups and a lot of people to really fashion a more modern strategy, and we've put out a lot of intellectual work on that and advocated for things like raising the minimum wage and so on. And then on the immigration front, we're, you know, hopefully going to pass a bill this year that will reform the immigration system. We're adding our voice to the chorus on the Middle Eastern policy in Iraq, but I wouldn't say it's a lead issue for us, in part because it's being, I think, dealt with very well by so many others. And these other areas are areas we have years of work have gone into this that we're trying to now, you know, move through Congress.
As a primary, we're so far away from primaries, but, you know, what role does NDN play as during the election process?
Yeah. Well, I think we're working with all the candidates who want to work with us. I mean, we are close to many of the presidentials who are running, and I know many of the actual candidates very well. I used to work for the Clintons, and so I come out of the Clinton world, and but I know Governor Richardson and Senator Obama, and I did know Governor Vilsack, who's no longer in the field, and I know Senator Dodd. But I mean, we've offered sort of the intellectual work that we do to all of them, the stuff we've done on policy, the work we've done on sort of new media and technology. On our website at newpolitics.net, there are, I think, 12 to 14 now different sort of think tanky papers on everything from using search to engaging the blogs to, you know, speaking in Spanish to buying cable to, you know, we're developing some new work on social networking and so on. There's a lot of intellectual work on that site which helps you, you know, sort of master these new tools that are out there to help you be more effective at communicating. And then there's also a lot of work in the demographic front. We will probably also be running some ads, independent ads, next year. It won't be this year. I mean, we may be doing some ads around the immigration issue, speaking to voters, but I think that unlikely that we'll be up that heavy this year. So we will continue to be involved in the advocacy, you know, battle and the debate for defining where the country's going and what our values are and what we're fighting for. I mean, which is what, you know, a lot of us are in this space, but that's certainly what we do every day.
Well, I certainly welcome you to, you know, use Block Talk Radio and the platform here to create some shows. You know, we're going to have close to a million listeners in March, and we've only launched in September.
That's great.
Yeah, so we have just so much variety of content, and just people are empowered to do shows, and it's been just, you know, it's impossible to get onto radio networks, of course, terrestrial radio, satellite radio, and we're giving people a voice. So we certainly would love to have your organization, you know, join that conversation.
Sure. Let's see what we can work out. I'll do my due diligence, my homework, and we should, you know, talk in the next couple of weeks and see what we can think through. I mean, I helped run our radio station in college, so I have old history many years ago. And did a live show at Tufts for many, many years.
Well, that's great. I mean, these shows, you have up to five simultaneous callers at any given time. We can call in. You could have panel discussions. People can, of course, be remote. You can dial out. And then these calls are streamed live in a guide when you schedule your own shows.
Yep.
And then archived with RSS podcast with RSS feeds. So
that's great.
Yeah, it's right up your alley. So once again, I know you're short on time today, so thank you for joining us.
Well, I'm good. If you guys want to go a little bit longer, I've got some time. I mean, it's up
Perfect.
To you, whatever you guys got.
We're fine. James?
Well, you know, hey, Simon, you know, one thing when we first met, I was interested, how did you get into the, I mean, I know it fits in your overall scheme, but what really has driven your Hispanic stuff? And, you know, you guys have got to be one of the leading groups down there in D.C. and one of the ones that started it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just part of what it's going to require to, you know, to succeed in modern politics in the 21st century. I mean, Hispanic population, you know, in 1965, there were only 3 million Hispanics in the United States. Today, there are 42 million. It's the most rapidly growing demographic in the United States today. The Hispanic percentage of the vote from 2002 to 2006 jumped from 6% to 8%. It's been the most volatile swing voting bloc in American politics in recent years. I mean, it was very heavily Democratic. It swung, you know, Bush doubled his market share in just two elections for Republicans, swung back very heavily to the Democrats in 06. So part of what our strategy always was is that, you know, if we want to succeed as progressives, you know, we needed to understand this vast and fast-growing and frankly very diverse community that we call Hispanics, and to really help, you know, for anyone in this business, whether it's Blog Talk Radio or if you're Barack Obama or John McCain, I mean, whoever you are, you're going to need to now have an Hispanic strategy. And we've been trying to be advisors to progressives and Democrats on, you know, how to think through this community, how to speak to them, how to, you know, think about how it's going to affect your politics. And we've, you know, in our various iterations in the last couple of years, we've run about $8 million worth of television ads in Spanish, which make us the, I think, the largest single communicator in Spanish of any group in either party or ideological movement. So we've been something we spent a lot of time on. It's also one of the reasons we're involved in the immigration debate so much. And I think that, you know, just speaking as a Democrat, I think if you look ahead to 2008, you know, if you think about the impact of this population, I mean, if with the Republicans, you know, having been, you know, their brand was very damaged because of the immigration debate in 2005 and 2006, and Hispanics really felt that Republicans were singling them out and targeting them, and they felt very personally offended by the rhetoric and the ads and the attacks that were made on immigrants in this last election, and Republicans lost significant market share. They went from, you know, essentially 58-40 in the 04 election down to it ended up going about 70-30 for Democrats. And Matthew Dowd, the president's pollster, has said that if the Republicans don't stay at 40% with Hispanics in future elections, they can't win presidential elections anymore. So the stakes on this are very high. If Democrats run a very sophisticated Hispanic strategy in 08, you could see us flipping the four southwestern states and Florida, and, you know, for a very long time to come. We've also, you know, added Denver now as a critical, you know, city for us with a convention. You've got the Nevada primary. You've got, I mean, caucus. You've got two bilingual candidates in Bill Richardson and Chris Dodd running. And so with all these new things we're doing to reach out to these areas where Hispanics live, to having a modern Hispanic strategy, if we can add to that that we pass comprehensive immigration reform this year, you know, we could see not only a huge increase in Hispanic participation, which is a good thing for our democracy, but also Democrats could benefit dramatically. And if Democrats benefit and we flip these states, you know, you could see Democrats starting to have an electoral college lock, not just an opportunity or an advantage. So the stakes in this battle are very high. You know, one way of of measuring the impact of this debate has been what Bush has done. I mean, last year he gave two primetime addresses to the American people. One of them was on the fifth anniversary of 9/11. The other one was on immigration. And I think the reason why he spent so much time on immigration was that what he was watching was the long-term viability of his party go up in flames over this immigration debate. So, you know, it's you're seeing now what could be happening is the Californianization of the Hispanic electorate, the way that Hispanics turned very heavily against the Republican in the 90s in California, which swung California from being a swing state to a blue state. If that happens in the rest of the country, I mean, we could, you know, this could tip the presidential, future presidential elections to the Democrats for a long time to come. And so the stakes on this battle are very high. And the stakes for the people, you know, all the Hispanic immigrants who are here struggling to have a good life, just like, you know, many have come before, are also very high. And so that's one of the reasons we're involved in this debate so much.
Well, I think it's tremendous. I think, you know, I was always fascinated by that, so... Well, thank you so much for coming on, Simon. It's good to hear your voice.
Hopefully, okay, guys.
Next time we run into each other, we'll have more than 30 seconds together.
Okay, James. Be well. And Alan, thanks so much, and congratulations for your leadership in this wonderful project.
Thank you. Look forward to speaking to you again.
Yeah, okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much.